Okay, good morning. It's Sunday, September 18th, 2022. This is the regular monthly business meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. This is Michael Novick, the chair. Hang on a second and I'll call the roll because our secretary, Ralph Hawkins, has had to leave the position.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto here. I have the roll in front of me. Would you like me to do that?
Sure, why don't you go ahead and do that? Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Christina Avalos?
Here.
Jose Benavides. Fred Blair.
Present. Would somebody stop, mute their mic?
Sandy Child.
Here.
Marisol Cruz. Bella DeSoto, that's me, I'm here. Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Avelia Jones. Ali Lexa, excused absence, requested. Rob Macon. Barbara Marbach, excused absence, requested. Michael Novick, chair.
Yeah, I'm present.
Is Janine Ron with us today, Mr. Chair?
Doesn't count towards attendance.
That's a non sequitur.
Mr. Chair?
Bella, please complete the roll call, Bella.
But she is the new secretary. That is why I...
Bella, please complete the roll call.
Okay. Oye, Oye Yipo. Myla Reese, an excused absence. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Ziri Rido.
Present.
Paul Robertson. Ruth Strauss.
Here.
Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Beth Van Guten.
Here.
Carlos Zavala.
Good morning.
Harvey Wasserman. Okay, I'm going back. Jose Benavides, Marisol Cruz, Avelia Jones, Rob Macon, Oye Oye Yipo, Paul Robertson, Oscar Ulloa, Harvey Wasserman. So we do have quorum, Mr. Chair. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 12.
That's not quorum.
Wait a minute.
Bella, did you count yourself? You're the 13th member who joined.
I did not hear you, Mr. Chair.
Did you count yourself? When you joined, you were the 13th member and became quorum.
You are correct, 13. We have
thank
quorum.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Lawrence, can you do the land back acknowledgement and comportment?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to invoke the word of our relative, Lydia Ponce. We salute these. We are recognizing that we are on unceded land of the Tomba, Tej, and Chumash people and Hachiman. let's try to be better relatives, and let's put in front of us the crisis that we are in and hope for a good outcome for my relationship.
Thank you. We put the election of the secretary on the agenda before the approval of the draft agenda, but that's probably the wrong order. So is there a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto.
Thank you. Any opposition?
Paulina seconds.
Thank you. Hearing no opposition, the agenda is approved. Draft agenda is approved. So really the first item of the business would be to appoint some timekeepers. Is someone to keep time for speakers? And there are times for the items in the agenda.
Yeah, this is Lawrence. I'll keep time. I'll defer to John P. Gary just in case he wants to.
Okay, what were you willing to keep time for, Lawrence?
I'm willing to keep time for the speakers and recognize the hands to help you out and put them down.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we do want to thank Ralph Hawkins for his service as chair, but he cannot continue, so as secretary, we need to elect someone as secretary to replace him for the remainder of the year. John P. Gary has indicated his willingness to do so. And I did speak with Janine. She thought that would be fine with her as well. So is there a nomination from the floor for John?
So moved. This is
okay, Grace. Yeah, Grace. Thank you. Okay, so that was moved by Grace and seconded by Beth. And is ready opposition to John Gary becoming the secretary for the remainder of the year? Hearing none, thank you.
This is Kim.
Kim, yes.
I have no objection, but I would volunteer myself to take minutes in the closed session until John can get a current confidentiality signed. So I'll do that. I will do that today in closed session.
Okay, thank you, Kim. We did. I'm sorry. Please let me speak. I asked John to fill out the confidentiality and electronic communications forms, and he did so.
Okay.
And submitted them to the PNB secretary as well. So he'll be available for that. Thank you. Pacifica mission statement. Does someone like to read that quickly?
If you like, I can read it, Mr. Chair.
All right, go ahead, Bella.
The Pacifica mission statement to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved should be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships of creative or creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and in between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems, and of course, the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such various sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. That is the Pacifica mission statement.
Thank you. Lawrence, you have your hand up?
No, disregarded. That's a mistake.
Sorry. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the excused absence request. I think we had three. Ali Alexa said he would be traveling. Barbara Marbrock is at work. Was there a third one?
Yes, Myla Reason.
Myla Reason. Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve the excused absence requests?
Bella objects to Barbara Marbrock.
Okay, Barbara said she has to be at work, and it seems to me to be a valid reason not to be able to attend
and
this
she
meeting.
She has missed most meetings.
All right. Again, is there a motion to approve the excused absence request?
Chair, so moved. Lawrence.
Thank you. Okay, we'll note Bella's objection. If there are any other objections, we'll just accept them.
Yes, I also object, Siri.
Okay, in that case, we'll take it to
I object as well.
All right, we'll take it to a vote. Do people want to vote on them separately then? John, you're in a position to call the roll at this point? Yeah, you're muted, I think, John.
Point of information, who was the second person that people are objecting to?
Barbara Marbrock, Ali Alexa, and Myla Reason. Ali said he would be traveling and would try to make it if he could, but he's not on yet. Barbara Marbrock emailed everyone that she has to be at work today and can't make the call, and I'm not sure what Myla's reason was.
Okay, thank you. She said
she has food poisoning.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. Thank you, Bella. Okay, do people want to vote on them separately? Let's try to do it quickly.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Any objections on Ali Alexa? Okay, hearing none, his excuse absence request is accepted. Any objections on Barbara Marbrock? We heard two, I think, or three. So I guess we'll have to vote on it.
Bella
okay.
objects.
Okay, thank you. I think there were three objections that I heard. So, John, I'm not sure if you're audible. Can you call the roll? We don't hear you.
Can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, now we do. Go ahead.
Sorry. Grace Aaron.
A no vote is to refuse to excuse the absence?
That's right.
Correct.
Okay, I vote no.
This is on Barbara Marbrock. Everybody clear? Thank you.
Yes.
Christina Avalos.
Yes.
Jose Benavides. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair votes yes.
Sandy Childs.
Yes, to excuse.
Marisol Cruz. I'll return. Bella DeSoto.
No.
Eric C. Jacobson.
No, pass.
Avelia Jones. Will return. Rob Macon.
Come back to him too. Not on yet.
Michael Novick.
No.
Oye Yipo.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Ziri Rideau.
No.
Paul Roberson. Will return. Ruth Strauss.
No.
Oscar Ulloa.
No.
Polina Vasiliev.
No.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
No.
Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go back for the missed votes and for the passes. So one more time, Jose Benavides. No vote recorded. Marisol Cruz. How do you vote? All right. No vote recorded. Avelia Jones. No vote recorded. Rob Macon. No vote recorded. Eric C. Jacobson, you passed. How do you vote?
I'll vote no, reluctantly. No.
All right. Lawrence Reyes, you passed previously. How do you vote?
I'll vote no.
Paul Roberson, are you present? How do you vote? No vote recorded. Harvey Wasserman, are you present? And how do you vote? No vote recorded. The yeses are 5. The noes are 10. That's the yeses are 5. The noes are 10. And there are and there were no abstentions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. So that does not excuse. Christina, you have a hand up?
Yeah, I think John needs to remove the names of the people that aren't here. It takes time.
Yeah.
Like Avelia's not here, and I forgot the other name.
Yeah, we'll try to do it as quickly as we can. Sometimes people join the call late. For example, Oscar's not here for the roll call, but he was here for the vote, so it's just an unfortunate reality. All right, that absence is unexcused. Are there any objections to the excused absence request from Myla Reeson? Okay, hearing none, her absence is excused. Appeal for funds for KPFK, you know, we do it every month, and I'll do it again quickly. You know, the station really needs the financial support of people very, very widely, certainly from all the board members, if people can make every effort to reach out to their circle and increase the intensity and urgency of their appeals for people, especially to become sustainers on an ongoing basis. And if we can, in particular, try to find organizations in the community, unions, faith-rooted groups, civic and community organizations where people would join the basic membership at KPFK, seeing it as in concert with the values that they share with us. I think it would do a tremendous amount to put the station on a clear financial footing. We have an after-action report on prior motions. There was a budget proposal last month, which the board did not accept and recommended that management seek to increase off-air fundraising because of the failures of the on-air fundraising, and also propose cuts in essentially payroll and staffing to try to bring the budget into balance. The budget that was presented was drastically in deficit. I did forward that to the management and to the PNB, but I haven't heard anything further on that. I don't know if perhaps that can be commented on in the management report in this meeting, or if there's any news from the PNB, the National Finance Committee, about budgets. We can hear it from the treasurer when that comes up. Next item on the agenda is approve the draft minutes, which Ralph did resend. Is there a motion to approve those?
So moved, Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, but with corrections down the road, if possible.
Yes, it's always possible to correct them. Thank you, Bella. Is there any objection? I think Grace seconded that. Is there any objection to the draft minutes? Hearing none, they're approved. The next item before we get to the business is to set a time certain for adjournment, which includes the recommendation, as we said, for a closed session at 1 p.m. to discuss confidential personnel matters. related to the GM search and to the severe fiscal constraints that the station is facing related to personnel. So the proposal, therefore, is that this meeting would end at 1 p.m. and we would go into a closed session at that point. And there was a separate login for that, which people got. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, I see Jose Benavidez joined the call. So if the secretary can take note of that.
I joined it as well, Paul Robertson.
Okay, Paul Robertson also here, thank you. Okay, moving on, we have the management report. I see Mo Thomas is with us. Mo, you have the floor.
Hello, greetings. And here we go. And greetings from Houston, where I am assembling the station for KPFT. We've been here for a week. We're leaving today, but I did want to join with you on our call. As you know, we are in financial difficulties, and I had a vision for how to see our way out of it. Let me first touch on the business of a general manager. I believe that we are now in the selection process between the executive director and the PNB to select or at least recommend a general manager. However, we have a problem in that we cannot pay a general manager. We can't even offer a salary because we simply don't have the money. That means we can't actually hire a general manager without paying them. It is improper to do so under California law, I am told, to have someone who is hired and doing work but unpaid. It runs contrary to the California law. So what that means is that we can't even have a general manager as a volunteer. It needs to be a paid employee of the foundation. I don't know what that's going to mean for my position or the prospect for a soon replacement, but it does leave us in a kind of quandary. That said, I'm more than willing to continue to be in your service and to do what I can to move the station forward. We cannot afford to stand fast and do nothing. In connection with that, I've looked at alternative income streams. I appreciate the work that has been done by the outreach committee and by the other committees to extend our image in the community and to develop other sources of income. This is very important. We will be starting another fund drive. We have not set the dates yet. That's something I have to talk to staff about. But it's probably going to be soon, possibly in the next couple of weeks. We're going to need a campaign. We're going to need a campaign objective. And certainly we're going to try and raise as much as we can. But I don't think we're going to be able to sustain a decent fundraising campaign with the present schedule and the present ratings on those schedules. So I have instituted a grid-wide program review. I think it's important that we take a moment and be introspective and take a look at what we have and what we could be doing and particularly what we can do better. I do not object, obviously, to content. What I do object to is presentation and trying to draw the largest possible audience. We have a unique position in the community. We provide a unique point of view. I do not expect us to have a mass market, but we do have to have somewhat of a market or a following in order to sustain ourselves, which is what I meant when I talked about boutique broadcaster. We cannot afford to do that. That's space that's covered by broadcasting. On the other hand, we cannot be a corporate shill. If I could speak bluntly, that's exactly what NPR is. They can hide behind whatever gray curtain they wish, but that's simply not who we are. That said, we are going to have to look for imaginative or alternative ways of fundraising, and it could mean partnerships of some kind. I am not proposing anything in particular, but I think the PNB is looking at how we could do that reasonably and with proper controls so that we're not just another shill, even for organizations that agree with us. There has to be a separation, as they say, of church and state between those who underwrite us and our political expressions on the air. So keeping the Pacifica mission statement in mind as our primary guidance, we are looking at this kind of program review to see if, in fact, we are meeting our mission and see if, in fact, we are meeting the needs of our community. As I said in my email earlier last week, that is going to involve a lot more outreach, possibly, you know, weekend after weekend, of going to rallies, going to events, having live actualities, having live interviews, going to town halls, church meetings, anywhere that the station should be to give voice to our community. Furthermore, I believe that there are a number of unserved communities in Southern California that we should be reaching out to, that we should be giving voice to. And I'm calling on the subcommittees of this LSB to do just that, identify those communities and find out how we can have better outreach and better service to those communities. My belief is that if we do that, we will indeed be a community service, and there should be a reciprocal effect of their financial support. So I really think that the work of the LSB committees, particularly the diversity, the outreach, and the program oversight committees, are particularly important in this work, and I'm counting on them primarily. I've gotten about a dozen responses to my email from last week where people said forthrightly, I'm in. I'm thinking, and this is just off the top of my head, I'm thinking that they could be the core of what I would call the program jury. That is, since they were the first to step forward and say that they want to participate, then we should give them preference in reviewing things. But we have to have things for them to review. So obviously there's the mission statement. Obviously there's the ratings. Obviously there's the amounts of money that have been raised. Some programs do zero money, but they have great ratings. We have to resolve that. And then the finally is program quality, which I understand is substantially political. Nevertheless, that's where I think the program oversight committee will serve very well in making, hopefully, objective views or reviews of programs that we already have on the air, as well as investigating programs who might serve that interest area better. And if we do that, I think we can improve our ratings, and I think we can improve our community service, and consequently, I think we can improve our revenue streams. I'll leave it at that. I also would like to say, if I may, my heartfelt thanks and appreciation for Ali Lexa's service to the station. It has been selfless. It has been continuous for many years. And I would be derelict if I didn't point out how much we love and appreciate the work that he has done to sustain the station. And I hope you join me in that salutary and congratulatory thanks for Ali. And Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it at that. I'll take your questions.
Okay, thank you, Mo. So I want to point out that in the chat, several people have said the station is off the air. The stream is not running on the KPFK.org, the live stream is not running there, or on the various streaming services, you know, pick it up, iTunes, was it iHeart, or Google, or you know, if you ask your smart speaker, it doesn't have anything to offer either. So maybe you can check with somebody about that.
I will,
Bruce to the staff.
Okay. Please try to use the hand raise function. A lot of people who have raised their hand already.
I'm on my phone and it's saying driving mode, even though I'm not driving, so I can't raise my hand. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I'll keep track of that. So I have Paulina, Lawrence, Grace, and Bella have had their hands up for a while. Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo, for the report. I just have one brief question. You said that it's not per California law, we can't have a GM volunteer. I'm thinking to the place about the place where you're at right now, Houston, where there is a volunteer interim general manager right now. Could you explain the difference? I think I understand what you mean. As long as there is, do you mean that as long as there is a paid position in place, that that person cannot be doing their work for free? Is that right?
That would be correct. So there is no paid general manager position in Houston. It doesn't exist. That was by vote of the BNB. Dr. Franklin left us, and Sandy Wyman, who was the chair of the LSB, stepped forward to fill that position on a volunteer basis.
He's an interim.
Yes, he's an interim.
Lawrence?
Yeah, I have a three points, Mr. Thomas. First point is that we have been articulating the communities that that are underrepresented at the station, and so I don't know where you get that idea that there has been data from the community advisory board that has been mentioned for the community. Committee of Inclusion, which we have a motion for consideration by this board. My concern is that I heard that you were not only invoking the mission statement in your grid changes, but also a money quoting. So if that's the case, I would have a problem with that. And obviously, what we're offering right now is not working because we are not sustaining ourselves. So we need something fresh, something refreshing to offer our listeners. And then in regards to the KPFT situation with the volunteer IGM serving right now, I don't see why that standard cannot be applied to our situation here at KPFK, which and it was not the PNB that voted to have Sandy Wyman step in as IGM. It was the appointment from Stephanie Wells as ED to appoint him as IGM. So just to correct the record on that. So can you respond to anything?
I believe my statement was rather explicit that we defunded the position in Houston. Mm-hmm. I did not say that the PNB appointed Sandy, that Sandy volunteered and Stephanie took his volunteer service. So it's a subtle difference, but I appreciate that.
What I heard was that we took a vote to install Sandy.
He did not say that. He said that the PNB eliminated the paid position of GM.
Fine. Can you respond to any of my concerns, Mr. Thomas?
All right. Well, first of all, the dimension that you're referring to has more to do with the PNB and the executive director. They're certainly not within my purview. If it is possible to have a volunteer general manager in Los Angeles at KPFK, and the legalities are correct for the state of California, I see no reason why you can't. I mean, first of all, personally, I do not object.
Can you address the grid changes that you are making?
The grid changes, I thought explicitly in black and white, but I'll say it again. The components were, first, the answer to the mission statement, okay? Some programs do quite well. And quite frankly, some programs don't address the mission statement at all. And I'm not going to sit here and try and recite which ones do and don't because I don't have that on the top of my head. But that's number one. Number two had to do with ratings. and whether they had an audience. This is what I mean when I say boutique broadcaster. So if your audience consists of a dozen of your best friends, not you, but just, you know, in the larger sense, has only a few listeners, then there's one or two things wrong. It's either the presentation or some other aspect. I would not indict the content, because I believe the content is obviously covered by number one. And number three, I mentioned revenue, which means if you have an audience and if you're drawing an interest group, that there would be some financial indication that what you're saying is of value to them. And but that's not a controlling factor, but it's certainly a factor. In other markets, we have shows that don't have revenue, very little revenue, but have a tremendous audience. I recognize that. So revenue is third on my agenda. And fourth, but probably as important as any, is the quality and the content, which is reflected in number three, but certainly stands alone in that. And I would just mention Margaret Prescott as an outstanding example of excellent content, well-written, well-produced, good content topics, and good guests with an excellent production and presentation. So if I had to present a gold standard, I would say that's it. So I don't want to have my view misconstrued as only finance oriented. Certainly finances are important, but that's only one aspect.
Okay, thank you. We have about 15 minutes for the sole item, so I'd ask if you could keep your responses short and if people keep their questions short, because we also want to take a public comment after this. Okay. Grace?
Okay. Welcome, Mo, and thank you so much for your long service to Pacifica, not just KPFK, but WPFW and KPFT at the moment as well.
Yeah.
I strongly believe that we should hire a paid full-time general manager. The general manager search committee put forward a pool of excellent candidates for the ED to consider. My own viewpoint, to use a medical analogy, is you never amputate the head. I don't know how many full-time equivalents we have at KPFK, but surely there are staff cuts, even though this is very difficult, that can and must be made in order to have somebody who can manage the station. We have no program director. We must have a full-time general manager, and the finances need to be dealt with so that is possible. We need a full-time paid general manager, because you cannot have staff. Obviously, the staff are doing their utmost best, and it's not making it. The staff alone are not able to reverse the steep decline in revenue, membership, and listenership that's been going on. This has failed. The interim GMs, sort of quasi-GMs, I'm sorry, Mo, but we haven't found a way to reverse the decline. We need somebody who's on in the locale, who can manage the station and can also hold the position of program director. This is two full-time positions. We're asking one paid general manager to do it. That's really what we need. We need good management at KPFK, not a stopgap, not an interim, not a volunteer.
Thank you, Grace. So that's outside of Mo does not appoint that position. So we're going to move on.
I understand that, but Mo, can you tell me how many full-time equivalents there are? In other words, if there are two half-time, that would be considered a full-time. How many full-time equivalent staff are there at KPFK?
We have less than a dozen, and not only that, we're asking folks to cut back. We've asked Stewart to cut back to 17 and a half hours. We've asked our union employees to cut back to 21 hours. Lee took a volunteer buyout and left us in order to possibly save other jobs. And I can tell you that the staff, as you well know, are working probably more hours than they're getting paid. So I would agree with you on that. I would also agree very easily and readily, you need a full-time general manager, absolutely. And you need them on duty, in place, in-house, right now. And I'm obviously not the one. So I agree with your thesis.
But thank you so much, okay. Mo, for your service. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, bring a lot of fires everywhere. All right. Bella?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. For a number of years, and I even created I call it the mock program grid. I submitted it to the Program Oversight Committee a number of times. Several individuals, members have responded and commented. It's work in progress. I shared it with you, with many people over time. There are many, we have a treasure trove of programming, but they are in obscure time slots. The recommendation is to bring these programs from the wee hours, the obscure time slots, and give them sunshine and showcase them across the board in prime time. By that, I mean mid-afternoon from 1 o'clock on. This will immediately give a boost to the program grid, and those programs need to be featured a 1 hour with call-ins. The call-in feature, as you know, is essential to engage the listeners immediately with KPFK. So we need to do what is available immediately to start boosting up our program grid. Along with that, then we can start working also on getting our news department off the ground, which Ziri Rideau, one of our members, has been working very hard in trying to get that. As far as program director, we have one waiting on the wings who has been ignored. Her name is Marlena Bond, who has been around for a long time at KPFK, is willing to step in as program director. She says she is being ignored by those in charge now. That would include you. So I want you to look at these options that are immediately available to us so that we can start reworking our grid immediately. And we need a morning magazine, as Michael Novick has said many, many times. We have no shortage of ideas, and we definitely need a full-time general manager. So okay. That conversation
Thanks,
is
Bella.
Out. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you. All right. I have Beth, Ziri, Ruth, and myself, and then we're going to have to move the agenda, I think. Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to say first that I support everything that Grace said. She expressed my own position. I don't think that right now we're essentially in free fall, and I don't see that situation turning around until we have dedicated management on site with nothing to focus on but pulling KPFK back into functionality. The programming, I sit on the LSB and the PNB, and I chair the local Programming Oversight Committee and have done so now for about 2 years. We have had almost no representation from management at those meetings since the PD position was cut a year and a half ago, with the exception of a couple of meetings when Stuart Landau was interim general manager, and we thank him for his willingness to engage. The Programming Oversight Committee meets tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We schedule it during business hours, at least the first hour during business hours, deliberately to include staff. I don't think we've seen you at those meetings yet, and I have a problem with prioritizing the judgment of others who respond spontaneously to your very spontaneous email last week without so much as checking in with the Programming Oversight Committee. We've been meeting every month, faithfully, on a regular basis, every month. It's all posted publicly. We're not hard to find. And so I would ask, please, that you engage with programming oversight before you make significant changes and before you prioritize others' inputs. This is the local committee dedicated to this purpose. We meet for nothing but this purpose. Can we count on seeing you tomorrow?
Okay, well, let me I'm going to be in the air tomorrow, I think. I'm flying down to Puerto Rico tomorrow. So that's going to be a little difficult for me to attend. But if you reread not only what I wrote last week, but what I've written in the last three or four of my memos, my general memos, it said quite clearly that we want to hear from and have the input from the Program Oversight Committee. So that offer still stands, and your work really doesn't need my presence more so than you need to come up with those concrete ideas, those action items, where we can develop a new grid. In fact, Bella just offered, and I'm sure you have offered, a whole entire grid of comprehensive changes, taking into account the programs that work and the programs that don't. And I would take that as a primary input to any judgment that we would make about programming, absent a program director. But let me just reiterate, yes, we need a full-time general manager, paid, on staff, in place, ready to go. And right behind that, we need a program director and a development director. And I believe the way to do that is to improve our programming, and certainly the Program Oversight Committee has a primary job for that.
This is Beth again to follow up on that. I didn't respond to
Beth, I'm sorry. I can't allow you to follow up. There's a lot of people on the stack, and we have a limited amount of time for this item. I'm going to go to the next person, which is Ziri.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Mo. Thank you for being here. So I've been working on that news program. I will send you a pilot and some, a presentation in the next week or 10 days. And so our hope is that this is an effort of only volunteers. And I have recruited a lot of volunteers. I do believe that with these volunteers, we could possibly replace a lot of the staff. And I do believe that we need to move from staff driven, even 12 is unfortunately too many, to a more volunteer based community radio again. And that way we will also get back into the black numbers. So I think the news program can be very important to reconnect with the community, invite people in, and that also means our station has to be open. Currently, you can't even visit the station. It's still on some kind of strange lockdown. I don't even know why. And so there has to be an atmosphere where people are welcomed in. And some of the staff members, unfortunately, don't want to communicate, don't want to include the community. And so they're obviously in the wrong place. The second important part I have is the website. The website is in a horrible condition. And even though Alexa might be a wonderful being, it doesn't reflect in the website. We need urgently the passwords from the website. I don't know if they were handed over to you, because this is the legal procedure when Alexa quit, that he gives you all the access and information codes, like a white paper, so that this can be continuously taken care of. And I volunteer with a group of staff, you know, to help get this website in a shape where people can actually make donations and where it will appeal to younger audiences. Thank you very much.
Chair, I have a request for information.
I'm sorry, Lawrence, there's a lot of people up on the stack, and you already spoke one.
I'm requesting that we extend time for 10 minutes.
So move. Bella.
All right, is there any objection to extending time on this? Okay, hearing none. Thank you. I have Ruth next on myself, and then...
Can Mo please answer some of my questions? Thank you so much.
Okay, did you have a response, Mo?
Sure. I'll be brief. The webpage probably does need some work, and I think Ali is doing some of this on a volunteer basis, probably not as well as when he was full-time, but nevertheless, he's doing his best. I've looked at the web page. I see what your point is compared to modern web page presentation. I'm looking at the SEO that doesn't seem to respond well to our audience. So I would think that, yeah, we do need to make some improvement. I am not going to give direct access to the website. First of all, I don't have it. I didn't get the passwords. I think that Stephanie did. And second, I think that that needs a focused and coordinated effort on a full-time basis, probably by a staff member, but certainly by a committed group of volunteers who can look after it on a day-to-day basis.
Thanks. Ruth is next, and then I have myself, Oscar, and Eric. No other public comment. Ruth?
You. I actually passed around a motion to everybody, and it basically is exactly what Beth said. And if we have time to vote on it, I'd like to put it forward now. If not, then at least enter it into the record. I prefer a vote. And it has to do with the fact that indeed we have a standing program committee. People who answered spontaneously to Mo Thomas's email are not people that should be prioritized in any way. If they want to join the program committee and, you know, go by the program committee rules, which are the rules for KPFK and Pacifica, they are welcome to do so. The second thing is that the programming committee, since we do not have a program manager, needs to be consulted by management before any one-sided decisions are made. And that I have that, as I said, in a motion that was sent to everybody. If management wants to make a unilateral decision, they need to present that to the programming committee and their reasoning behind it. The person who currently occupies that position has, you know, stepped up, and we appreciate that. But that person is not generally a manager, but generally a technical person, which is a huge responsibility just for one station, and he's doing it for three. And so I'm grateful for that. But we have already established a committee in KPFK, and they are the ones to be discussed anything with lacking a program director. And I have a motion, and I can introduce it, or I'll do what the chair asks. But that needs to be the operating procedure at this point. Thanks.
Okay, I've answered this question now three times. Let me say it again. The program oversight committee will, emphatically, will be consulted before any changes.
Thank you. So if you can hold off for a minute, at least, Ruth, so we can get the
point of information that has not been done so far. I'm glad it will be done in the future. Thank you.
Let's just say that emphatically and on the record.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. So a couple of points. We've had a motion a couple of times that I put forward that has been passed by the LSB and Gunnor, which is to have a strategic planning process at the station led by management, but incorporating both paid and unpaid staff and governance. And I think it's really essential. I think that we need to identify what are the resources we have, paid or unpaid, what are the talents that they represent, and the best use of those talents to meet the needs that we have, and try out a systematic course for what you just described, Mo, how to do program improvement, improve promotion of the programming we have, and audience and, you know, community engagement, including the outreach efforts. And there was a motion from the PMB, I think from Oscar Ulloa, called Pacifica in the Streets, about, you know, covering events and having a presence. So I think that that's critical. I think that another critical aspect that would be very, very helpful would be to improve the communication between the entire staff with each other, paid and unpaid, and between governance and staff. I get these emails and I reply to emails, and anything I send to the programmers or to the staff bounces because I'm not a programmer or a staff member. And I think if the local station board and the paid and unpaid staff were able to communicate better, we'd be able to coordinate our efforts better. I think that would be a very positive development. I do support what Ziri said about developing the news. I think we do need a morning show, and KPFA at one point had a volunteer-based morning magazine show called Morning Mix. They had multiple hosts, and you know, it was quite popular and effective in drawing an audience. So I think we need to look at measures like that. And I've sent you many, many proposals and to previous managers and interim managers about shows like Face the Alternative Press with local, you know, alternative papers like LA Progressive, Change Links, Venice Beachhead, Random Links. We could easily develop such a show, and on a volunteer basis, there are a lot of others that would, you know, deal with newsmakers and community issues. Anyway, I think that I have a motion that was on the agenda of the program website committee. We did not get to it the last meeting. I do want to pursue it, which is have this body elect a number of people that would serve in the kind of position you're talking about of advisory or collaborate with the management on evaluating. We did at one time have an elected program council, which worked closely with the then PD and reviewed. We came up with a whole set of criteria for evaluating shows, and it was adopted and incorporated into the programmer's manual, as far as I understand. And we also vetted proposals that were submitted for new programming.
You have 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I'm done. Oscar is next, and then Eric, and then we're going to move to public comment.
I have my hand up. We have over 6 minutes on the time extension.
Yeah. Good morning, Mo. Thanks. My question is about, well, probably a little off the topic right now. But what is it, reporter, were you on the loop about what happened last night at the parking lot of the station? What seems to be that the neighbors around the neighbor next door, I think it's a Mediterranean place, was using, and also not only using, but as the charging valet fees for using or parking lot. Were you on the loop on that information?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, and I'm very angry about it. It would make me use language we can't use in public or on the air. Fact of the matter is that apparently they unilaterally decided they were going to use our lot for parking, that they hired a valet company to come and do it. They did not have our permission. They certainly didn't pay anything for it. And now I'm suggested that I should either accept a payment for them or ask for a payment for them. I'm not really interested in any of that, because that's our property. They didn't ask. And if the minute we take money from them, then they'll do it again, and they'll just write us a check and say, there it is. We paid you. Not only that, our people could not get in. They couldn't park. They couldn't do their shows because of that. And then there's the liability issue. You know, they're on our property. And if someone should be injured on our property, or somebody's car is damaged on our property, they would hold us liable for it. So the answer is no, they did not have a permission. No, they did not prior coordinate it. And I'm very, very angry about it. And if it weren't for the fact that we're in financial conditions here, I would sue them, and sue them for a lot of money for the improper use and unjust enrichment using our property.
Thank you. Eric is next and last on the LSP stack, and I'll go to public comment.
Yeah, do you see my hand up?
Lawrence, you already spoke in this section.
Yeah, but it's a time extension, Chair. I mean,
okay. All right. In any case, we'll hear from the people who haven't spoken yet. That was go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Michael. Mo, I wanted to just make a comment and put a little idea into the mix. Might be part of the solution. The way I see it, the financial crisis we're going through, it's obviously multifaceted. It includes, unfortunately, a organized donor strike by a segment of our listenership that is unhappy with governance. But that's not my main point here. Jim Degeman put something in the chat earlier in this meeting to the effect that our numbers are anemic, especially after the morning shows. And then there's also a steadily anemic in the afternoon, and then completely anemic in the evenings, up through midnight. So I see that, as I see it, the financial crisis in terms of decline in listenership, which equals decline in members and their at least minimal donations monthly, is a function of in a sense, an identity crisis at KPFK. And what I feel is this, that voices that we're airing are not resonating in any major way with the anything like a sizable fraction of the non-conservative residents of our Southern California listening area. And so what I would propose is that we begin a process of auditioning and experimenting to find the Pacifica mission-oriented voices that large numbers of non-conservatives in our signal area would eagerly wish to hear. They do exist. Some of them are in the podcast world that are not necessarily small audiences. It varies. Some podcasts are obviously quite boutique, but others are fairly mass following. We have one low-hanging fruit idea that we can at least put a request in and sound him out if he's willing. A former LSB member, Jim DiEugenio, is a regular on the podcast that I quite favor called Black Op Radio. Talks about the assassinations of the 60s and their aftermath and the way they damaged society, what I call our not great society in a major way. And this is a gentleman who, if offered, may be open to formulating a show that could be very popular, in my humble opinion. I think he could, be one of our star programmers, if I might be so bold. So perhaps we could start an audition process for new voices and new shows. The worst that can happen is we don't find what we're looking for. But the best that can happen is that we unearth some major talents that would then vastly broaden our listenership. Just a thought. Thank you.
Yes, I would agree. And frankly, anybody that has new ideas, new show ideas, new talents should channel that to me and to the entire review process, but in particular, the Program Oversight Committee. It seems that what I'm trying to put forward here is an idea of a collective of a diversity of voices that should be heard to judge programming and judge new programming and revitalize our grid. And I think that inputs like that would be well considered.
Okay, thanks. Lawrence,
I'm gonna be quick. I agree with Beth and Grace and I do know Jim, so I agree with Mr. Jacobson as well. I think when you say diversity, you have to also include equity and inclusion. Diversity is just such a buzzword these days. It's been co-opted. So I would hope that you will include equity, diversity, and inclusion when people volunteer to help you with developing methods to bring people in. Thank you.
All right. That it's absolutely true. And by the way, Marlena, Janine, trying to think of some of the other voices I've heard from, are not being ignored. They're on the list. They're on the folks who want to help and they have great ideas. Michael Novick, all of them have put forth terrific ideas. Yours are included, I would think. And I'm more than happy to have more the merrier. As I said, all the words in the water, which means I cannot afford to ignore anybody or anybody's suggestions or input. We just can ill afford to do that. But there has to be an introspective process, and then we have to get on, and I mean quickly get on with a revitalized grid.
Thank you. Ruthie, had your hand back up, and I think we're out of time again, but if you can quickly make your point, and then we'll go to public comment.
Yeah, we are assigned chair.
Yeah, I was just going to say about the parking lot, if we don't have anybody to step up to help with the legal thing, we can go to small claims court, and I'd be happy to go there.
Thank you. Okay, so public comment, I have Sue Cohen-Johnson has a hand up, and then Kim Kaufman, Janine Rowan. Sue, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. I just want to say that statistics say that people, listeners don't automatically follow when you change the show times. And that's all. Thank you. Oh, if Morning Magazine is doing well, don't mess with it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Kim Kaufman, next. I said thank you, Sue. You said that was all. Kim Kaufman is next, then Janine Rowan, Michael Heiss, Margot Iser.
I really hope you make time and don't run out of time for the treasurer's report. You are speaking without understanding really the current state of finances, which you really need to hear before you go into closed session. That's it.
It's on the agenda, and I think I moved it up. Janine?
Hi, thanks, Michael. I'm with the fundraising committee. I'm chair, and I'm happy that that Mo pointed out, you know, the proposals that I've sent. We're going to start doing phone banking, which has been stalled for a year almost. So I'm excited about that. I wanted to just bring up what he was talking about with the full-time staff. I appreciate Grace bringing that up. The finance committee, I've been asking for not who's making what money, but how many staff we have. And so that we can understand, WBAI has half the payroll that we have. And I certainly know we need to grow our listenership and our members. But they have a model that is costing half of what our model does. And I've been asking to try to find out what that model is. If they have, you know, instead of 12, do they have six-time full-time employees? And what are those positions that what Siri was saying? You know, how can we dial in, at least for the time being, what that is? And I also wanted to bring up that Rodrigo Bravo, on a call I was on about a week ago, he started to walk some of us through, volunteers through social media, like posting on TikTok. And although he's a staff member, I'm sure that could be, along with the website, that could be a volunteer position that could really make a big difference by taking pieces of show, putting video to them or whatever, and getting them up with a donate button. Appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And I'll talk more about fundraising later on. Thank you.
Michael?
I'm sorry. Michael Heiss is next, then Margo, Nancy, and someone on the phone. Michael Heiss, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Michael. And I know usually I volunteer to be the timekeeper, but I'm sort of multitasking and doing some of that pesky work thing today. But I'd point out that a lot of the speakers, are running over 2 minutes. And in the interest of time, I would ask people to be cognizant of that. A few quick questions for Mo. One of the potential fundraising or fund whatever issues that's been discussed in the background is a signal swap. Is there any update on that? I know everybody is in, oh, we're the largest, blah, 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 blah. But if nobody listens, you're a tree falling in the forest. How does a station with a tenth of our power get 10 times the listeners? So, you know, let's look at it realistically. The other thing, what's the update, if any, on a little bit more open door so that we can do things like phone banking? And I know there are concerns, but I would ask you to please address that. Volunteers are great, but there needs to be supervision. I mean, that's just life. And finally, Mo, just because I know, excuse me, I know you need a laugh because this is getting way too serious. My obligatory request for an update on the FACACTA phone system. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a lot. Number one, with regard to the signal swap, I don't think that's in the cards. I've heard about this a lot. How does a 2,500-watt station beat an 1,100-watt or 110,000-watt station? The answer is not watts. All it means is you have a very smaller audience and a very larger basis. You have probably a 50-mile service radius, and they probably have a 20-some mile radius. So theirs are more dense. There's a lot of factors. There is no glib answer to that, but I'm not sure that a signal swap would do any better. We'd just probably reduce our service radius. We would reduce our building penetration. We would reduce our highway coverage, and then we'd have a smaller audience within that smaller radius. So I think it's a downward spiral. No, the real answer is to fix our house, get our house in order, and get us back to the progressive agenda that we say we want to put forward. With regard to staff, you know, the staff is working very, very hard, and they put in many more hours than they get paid. So I think that they obviously owe us, we owe them a lot of thanks, and we need to be as helpful to them as we can. Terry, in particular, has been a lead and a spark plug, as you know, for many, many years, and I value his time and counsel. What was your third point?
Hang on. Sorry, just to make you laugh, because I know this gets really serious. What's the status of the FACACTA phone system?
Okay, so the FACACTA phone system is a special product, as you know. We've only offered it for a few months, and it's it is providing all of the aroma that we expected. But seriously, we know there's a phone problem, and it's going to be about a $2,500 fix. We have somebody who is very knowledgeable and thinks that he can get squared away in short order in a day. And he's quite willing to come out and do it. And so as soon as we can put the money together, possibly by a special fund or some sort of special action, we're going to get him out there and fix it.
Thanks, Margo, then Nancy, then the person on the phone.
Okay, thank you for finally getting a report to the listener. It's to a smaller group than to the actual listeners, but it is good to hear interim general manager. I'm Margo Eiser, long-term Mr. Sponsor, and I have to say that it is absolutely imperative that we do not go into another owned fund drive. And again, I'm glad it was addressed that some people have more time on the air. But the big thing that's keeping some people from actually contributing is that there's not an actual enough of a public expression of display or whatever you want to call it, of reporting of every single penny that we, the listener, sponsor, members are supposedly the ones who run the station, of where that money goes. Again, it doesn't have to be specifically who makes what, but there should be a regular report of that so we know where the money goes. Again, and we help make the decisions of where that money goes. And I think that's most important. I'm so glad that you know, some people have a lot more time on the air and then they just get a lot more money being raised. And I like the idea of rearranging the grid. And we have volunteers who are willing to do that. And I think that the outreach to the community, again, is so important. And I'm glad that that's finally being addressed. And I just sent to somebody on the Facebook about they put KBFK, LA, and then Santa Barbara. I said, add the three other stations or wherever, you know, San Diego and Ridgecrest and China Lake. Okay. So I'm just glad that we're finally getting some reports and some facts and some things like that and involving us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. That was time. Nancy?
Yes. Thank you. This is Nancy Sabarnaitomi from KPFT. I would urge all of us to think about expanding the voices of our members, our membership. The call-ins expanding, like, you know, the programming committee at the KPFK, seriously consider, and Mo, and allow each show or even long music shows, at least 10 minutes an hour for call-ins, or at least 5 minutes, because the reduction of call-ins is really horrifying. Just look at KPFT, no call-ins for 2.5 years, except on Julian Marvo's show. When she does do call-ins, we have her show live. That's one show sometimes only. So we have no call-ins. It's awful. So you have the ability of a dump button. Use it. And also, number two, what was passed in last year in the PNB was Pacifica in the Streets team, organized by the manager. And Oscar Ulloa of your station has been very fervent in this team to be able to call in and report maybe spontaneously some kind of 1 minute or 2 minute breaking news, something that's happening in the streets. This team could also be taking interviews on the streets to be edited later and put on the air. So again, you have more people involved. If there are emails, tell them when it's going to be aired.
Nancy, that's time. Thank you. We have a person on the phone. You have your hand raised. Member of the public.
Hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, a few things. Janine Ron mentioned that Rodrigo Bravo from KPFT is staff. I know that some people use the word staff to mean only paid staff. In New York, we use the term staff to describe both paid and unpaid people. Rodrigo Bravo is not being paid by KPFT. He's volunteering as their social media head. He's also being blocked from taking his rightful seat on the local station board in Houston by Sandy Wyman, who secretly was appointed, allowed to volunteer for a position. There was no search. There was no declaration to staff, hey, this position is opening up. Would you like to volunteer? He was handpicked, put in place. He insists on remaining in his seat as a staff delegate while also sitting on the LSB as interim general manager in the ex officio position that's reserved for management. So he's in two seats. Rodrigo is amazingly talented, and the KPFT LSB, among other things, is stupid for not fully utilizing his talent and duplicitous for violating the bylaws and abusing him. With regard to New York, where we are also running in the red, it is a great idea. We should replace our program director and get a committee to get the work done. In the 3 years or so that this person has been in that position, aside from the fact that the LSB went through a search, sent candidates up to management who has refused to hire any of them, and the national office has intervened, the lawyer, the ED, and HR has intervened, removed the interim title from the interim person's name, and insists that that is now her position. That
time
is unacceptable. Okay. It's a violation of the Bible. I'll come back.
Thank you. Okay, Janine, you had your hand up again. I think you wanted to try to get an answer to your question. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's two issues that I brought up. One is having a volunteer do social media, because as the caller just was saying, Rodrigo is a volunteer at KPFT, and he's made a huge difference from what I understand. So I don't, you know, I'd like to find out if that's something along with the website, but they're kind of distinct. So that would be something to address. And then the other thing is, if we have 12 paid employees, and I hate the idea of talking about cutting staff, but if we have 12 employees and somehow WBAI has half the payroll, one has to assume that they're doing what we're doing with six. Okay. It's maybe not that simple, but you know, this, I have repeatedly brought this up and actually been shunned on the finance committee for bringing this up, but it's a very straightforward question. What are the positions that are needed in a station that's using half the money for payroll, and why can't we mirror that?
Mo, did you have some response to that? He turned off his video and it's muted. I'm not sure if he had to step away.
You have one more participant.
Yeah, there's one more person on the phone. 213 area code. Quickly, because we're out of time for this. Mo, did you, I see you unmute yourself. Did you have a response to Janine?
Obviously, half of our payroll is payroll. I mean, half of our income is payroll because our income is so greatly reduced. But let's not forget the utilities and the telecom expense, which is also significant. But the bottom line is that I think we're making as good a use as we can with the staff we have, but obviously we need more, and it's just an issue. I have no complaint about our staff. I think they're doing a great job, but I also think that we need to do a better job on the air. And while I appreciate the work of the Finance Committee and how they're watching the pennies, I really think that's important. I also think it's important that we start getting serious about revising our program grid that's more responsive to our audience and our community. And frankly, that's my primary focus, is to get that done.
Well, with all respect, Mo, you're not really addressing my specific question about why
this is out of order.
All right.
If you have a caller,
56.
It is not out of order.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bella, please don't call out. And Lawrence also, not necessary. Janine did ask a question. She wanted to give Mo a chance to respond. Her question was, is there some way we could model what stations on the East Coast are doing that have a much smaller payroll and are still operating? So that was the question.
And also a volunteer for social media. And
yeah.
Having it be a paid position.
So, yeah, that's currently filled by an unpaid person now here. So that's Ali at this point, is an unpaid status and is doing the social media.
He's got to go.
I'm sorry, there's one more person on the phone, but I think we're out of time for this section of the public
Dr.
comment.
Yeah.
Bella, please do not call out. I said we're at time for this section of public comment, then we'll move on to the PMB director's reports. Ali is not here. Ali is not here. Lawrence Reyes or Beth Von Gunten, do you have a PMB report?
I will yield the best, Chair, first.
Thank you. Beth?
I will send the report later today. Most of what I have to say, I think I'm prepared to yield my time to the treasurer. I think the LSB needs to hear. We need a reality check on just where we stand. And I'll go into it in prose in a written report later today. But I think the time is best used hearing the reality of where we are financially. And
Chair,
that will enlighten our discussion in closed session. Thank you.
Chair, if I could just request from the body that I'll be given to Tuesday to submit a written director's report. I agree with Beth that we should yield to the treasurer.
Okay, thank you. Well, we did have time for the director's report and then public comment to the directors. So we'll move to that second public comment before we go to the treasurer.
I was addressed at 5600.
Mr. Halley, you're up for public comment. Dr. Halley?
You mean right now?
Yes, right now.
Thank you. Good morning, people. I imagine a lot of you are aware that we frequently hear this PSA with Willie Nelson talking about free speech radical radio. In my view, we haven't heard a great deal of that in our airwaves in recent history, especially about such things as political assassinations, 9/11 as a false flag operation. I think we need much, much more of this kind of cutting-edge radical content on our airwaves. By the way, we do get some of it in the middle of the night on Roy's show, but not much during the day. I'll add that I would be open to adding Jim DiEugenio to our station lineup. I think he might be a good addition. Number two, I want to add to what's been already been said about the great importance for the PROC playing a central role in any program changes. Terrifically important. Finally, I'm surprised that anybody's talking about a signal swap with regard to KPFK. The issue seems to be applying this is WBAI, and in my opinion, this probably should have been done 5 or 10 years ago. I understand that station is in the commercial part of the FM spectrum. I've heard estimates as high as $50 million for that license. I think that might be very to go to help the entire system. Thank you very much.
Michael, I muted you because of your bandwidth.
I'm sorry, Lawrence, what was that?
You got listener on
top. Yeah, thank you. I was about to say that. The person on the phone, listener, you're up again. You have your hand raised on the phone. You spoke earlier. You have a second chance to speak in the second comment period.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Got where I was. But anyway, I think I was talking about WBAI and the fact that the interim program director has been given the job permanently, despite the fact that she was not on the list of people recommended to the GM. And that needs to be addressed. The story that they've been throwing at the LSB, some directors and the national office have been claiming that it's because of staff involvement in the selection process. Since three of the seven people on your LSB search committee were staff, I would be careful to be sure that they don't start swinging that hogwash over there. There is no violation in staff being part of these committees. With regard to what's happening in Berkeley, there's a listener member who's being persecuted by the very same people, the protectors / New Day / whatever name they're using this week, the people who in fact lined up to go to the SEC to deny the renewal of WBAI's broadcast license, are attempting to persecute and prosecute Elizabeth Milos on the LSB because she dared repeat in public what the GM said in public about not supporting a staff member who was being attacked by the police department in Antioch up in the north country. Let me wrap up for his coverage of the work. So y'all need to just pay attention to what is happening around the network, as well as what's happening at home. It's eroding all of our rights.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any other hands up for public comments, so we are going to go to the, I believe the Treasurer and Finance Committee report is next. And then we'll do the PNB Committee of Inclusion.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized for a second?
What is it, Bella?
Mr. Chair, wanted to add that I listened to yesterday's KPFA LSB meeting, and it is a Gestapo.
Okay, thank you. That's not appropriate this time.
Well, I want people to know. Thank you. No public comments allowed either.
Okay, Kim, do you want to do a Treasurer's Report and then a Finance Committee?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Can you hear me? Lawrence, you need to mute.
Yeah.
I apologize, Kim. Go ahead.
Okay, so KPFK, currently we have a $526,000 net loss. Last year, without PPP, we had a $554,000 net loss. So the expense decreases that we've made are about the same as the revenue decreases for this year. So that didn't really improve anything. And we still have about $190,000, accounts payable old, and continually being added to that. Whether we can pay payroll at the end of this month is very unknown. We have $1,000 in the bank. KPFA is starting their fund drive next Tuesday, and I believe we're doing a soft partial fund drive along with them, and we'll start a full fund drive after the following week. But we're not seeing how that's going to make payroll at the end of the month in 2 weeks. And I just want to point out, for years, and now Ian and Tenali were subsidizing all the shows with little or no listener support. Now, while you may be happy because they weren't the politics that you liked, Now all we have left are the underperforming programs with no hope of raising the money needed to cover even basic operations. And any plans for new programming is not going to help our immediate needs. Soliciting $25 memberships is a money loser for KPFK. It costs more to do the bookkeeping and membership and bank fees than that's worth. It's not helpful. I understand we have an election coming up and this appears to be all that this is about, but it's a money loser for KPFK. Okay, KPFA. Last year, and I don't have the exact number because their auditor adjustments that haven't been made yet on our P&Ls. But last year they were in a very substantial positive position, even without the PPP. Year to date, KPFA is at a $60,000 negative. Year to date as of July. They are 2 months in arrears on central services. WBAI, last year, without PPP, they were $185,000 negative. This year, they are at $300,000 negative. Okay? Their personnel may look low, but they hire a lot of consultants. This is not a model for us. Okay, they have $8,000 in the bank, $90,000 in current payables, and much more in older payables. They've been paying their health benefits since March, but owe $40,000 from the first half of the year. That hole in the national office budget does not go away. They are currently 2 months behind tower rent, office rent, and the call center. Their fundraising is about $2,000 per day, and according to what the GM said, they need $3,600 a day. And their budget, he said, is being based on $3,100 per day. This is more three-card Monty when we get to their budget. This is not a model, in my opinion. PFW, last year with PPP, they were $126,000 positive. Without PPP, $15,000 negative. They still did their August fund drive last year and had been paying central services and doing very well until this year. As of July, they were $41,000 positive, and they blew off their August drive because they're having issues, which I am not going to get into here. They now have $5,000 in the bank. They have 2 months rent due, and they have $100,000 in payables, and they are not paying central services. The national office has $200,000 in accounts payable. For the whole network, it's $1.12 million deficit. This is almost exactly how much PPP we received for the previous 2 years. The whole network has $800,000 in accounts payable. The FJC interest payment is due in 2 weeks. That's $48,000. NEDA is due their final payment in 2 weeks at the end of September. We cannot presently pay both. There could be other surprises, like the Fed's taking $90,000 for IRS issues, which happened while Lydia was IED and said nothing about. That was a surprise a couple of months ago. We could have more surprises like that. The 2 years of PPP and another loan was the only reason Pacifica survived the previous 2 to 3 years. That time should have been used to improve the operations of all the units. That didn't happen, and we're trying to do the cleanup now. With no cash influx, the failing operations have nothing to hide behind. The bottom line, there is no help in a network 4K. We have been, you know, talking about not making payroll for about 2 years, and other stations could bail us out. There is no bailout for us now. The entire network is up against it, and very difficult decisions must be made or they will be made by outside forces. Every week, the PNB delays making decisions gives Pacifica fewer options. I will take questions.
Thank you, Kim. I have hands up from Bella and Christina, and I'll add myself to the stack. Go ahead, Bella. Bella DeSoto, you're recognized to speak.
Yes, I am muted. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, we have not received any written reports from the treasurer or chair of our finance committee. Once again, this is a repeated situation, so we have to go based on her numbers. And I want to look at the numbers she gave us. She said that KPFK is currently with a 525K net loss. How can that be? And still holding a $90,000 accounts payable, meaning obligations, payout obligations. If you look at the July P&L, which is the only one we have received to date, which is amazing, and I reduce it by the 2 months of central services payments, and she says we are in arrears, which is, to me, is remarkable. We used to be usually in a year and a half in arrears. Then that actually brings us to a positive gain of $20,304. Something is not jiving here. I'm specifically addressing KPFK. Thank you.
I have no idea what Bella is talking about. Absolutely no idea. The P&L says have $526,000 net loss. I don't understand what magic she's using to show that we're in a positive. The $190,000 accounts payable are from the last 2 years. I mean, they're separate issues. Anyways, next question, please.
Just two things. The report, again, written report, I really would like to have that on a regular basis. The second thing is Avelia is sick, and I'm just requesting an excused absence for her.
Okay. Retroactively, is there any objection? I guess Avelia communicated with you, Christina, that she's ill?
Yes.
Is there any objection to excusing Avelia's absence? Hearing none.
Thank you.
I'll call myself. I understand what you're saying about the cost of processing basic memberships, but the whole point of getting people basic memberships is that then you can upgrade their membership once they have a little bit of skin in the game in relation to the station. So. If we had came in the door with 10 or 20,000 new members in every one of our areas, that would be an influx of funds that would help deal with some of the accounts payable and necessities that you're talking about, Kim. So I think that although I know you are, like to say no to everything, we have to find some solutions, and that's one of them. I think that, again, we had an appeal earlier. I think, we do need to figure out together with management how to very, very immediately attract some income. And that's one way to do it. I think that the relationship between programming, you continually disparage it. But, for example, if we had a consistent, locally focused, call-in type labor show on our airwaves, we could promote that in the labor press and to labor organizations. If we had a show focused on education, we could communicate that and publicize that and promote that with educators and with parents. If we had a children's show or a show that focused on families and the issues they're facing everything from baby formula to evictions, we could promote that in magazines that are distributed free to parents and to families. So there's a direct link between our stale and disconnected, not community-oriented programming and our lack of community engagement in the programming we have and our failure to raise funds. There's also a direct connection between, and the LSB passed this last month, the model of on-air fund drives based on pitching for product and premiums has failed dismally, and more of the same is only going to drive away more and more of our remaining listeners. So it's critical that we institute various methods of off-air fundraising, as the LSB voted in the majority last month. And you can, dismiss the possibility of signing up large numbers of basic members, but that's your opinion, and it's one way to get money in the door. The others are, and we've, I don't know why it has not been responded to, but the fundraising committee vetted a program for, again, off-air online auctions, where you tap into the community of interest, people who are willing to donate things that can be sold online. And it puts us in contact with dozens of nonprofits whose members are all logged into that platform without knowing anything about KPFK and able to bid on the things we have for auction. And then they become aware of KPFK. So these are all things that can be taken immediately. There's nothing stopping us. The foundation as a whole should sign up for that auction platform and start doing it for all five stations, because as you have made very clear, all five stations are in dismal financial shape. All five stations. Thank you.
Okay. Look, you have your ideas, and I have what I do. Go ahead, do it. It is not going to help us pay payroll at the end of the month, period. End of story. I've heard all these ideas for 10 years. By all means, do it. You know, you passed a motion last month, and I don't know. I mean, I told you at the time, it's not going to change one line item, one penny on the budget. And in terms of the motion, part of that motion, we'll cut staff to balance the budget. Then you will have to fire the entire staff. We will no longer be compliant with the FCC, and we'll have to shut the station down. What part of this don't you understand, people? This is magical thinking.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, I have other hands up, Bell. I think you spoke already. So I have Eric and then Ziri.
Thank you, Michael. As to that last point that Kim made, I'm not sure I agree. It seems to me that there's relatively few hard and fast rules for stations to comply with in order to be in the correct side of the regulations. And one of them is to have a GM, and the other is to prevent dead air. Those are two biggies anyway. And that could theoretically be accomplished through use of technology and the essentially transferring in a programming throughout the broadcast day with a very skeleton crew, perhaps consisting of the GM and one or two technical people. And I don't, to me, all the talk that one is hearing, some rumor about, selling off Pacifica bit by bit is horrifying. Pacifica is having an identity crisis. It's having, a terrible byproduct of a governance dispute that has created a donor strike, a substantial segment of the listenership. But we cannot just then turn to these really irresponsible solutions whereby our assets are going to be sold to the highest bidder. Our signals are ultra valuable. We have the largest signal west of the Mississippi. Our job is to preserve it, not to swap it or anything of the sort. And if we have to play for time by using automation, people like Mo are perfectly capable of organizing maybe some all three distressed stations or maybe all five stations, a way to put in the sort of repeater type programming. But the main thing is to, not have to resort to these terrible, terrible, what I call Malthusian options, which ends up, you know, putting Pacifica on the chopping block. That can't happen while I'm around here. I'll protest it to the hilt as long as I'm on the LSB here. I obviously don't have much power to do influence much, but I'll lobby our PNB members to create these alternative options, stop gaps, and then experiment like hell with more popular programs. Get a mass listenership of the non-conservative people of California and the other signal areas, and get our numbers back where they should be. $25 a year wouldn't be terrible if there was, you know, tens of thousands of new listeners based on vibrant new programming that really does resonate with what non-conservatives yearn to hear in 2022. Thank you.
Thanks. Siri is next.
Thank you, Eric. I very much agree. We need to stay on the air and we need to go back to our roots. And one of the important thing is that we have had issues with creating live events because Kim had put a motion in that we need to get LSB permission basically for fundraising events. This is one of the ways to block basically fundraising. I don't know, Kim, why you introduced that. The second thing is, in general, yes, all stations are hurting right now, all radio stations, and after COVID especially, to try to create a trend, making it look like KPFK is only going down because of COVID. While there is some programming that's not great, this is not the main project. This is the structural project of our, a problem of our society right now as everything goes down the tube. And we have, just like Eric said, enough of talent and resources in this city to make this whole thing by volunteers if we have to. And I will also volunteer on that. And instead of forcing any kind of staff that we don't need, it doesn't matter that the CPB now needs paid staff to qualify for these grants. I think this is one of the good reasons to not even go to ask for these grants, because we might not have to have paid staff. I think we can do this with volunteers and recover that way. Thank you.
I would like to respond to one thing, that my motion for fundraising is not blocking anything. It is protecting Pacifica and KPFK from legal liability.
Okay,
period,
so,
the end.
All right, so that is on our agenda. So why don't you read the motion, or I can read it for you, and then we're going to discuss it and vote on it. And then we're going to move the agenda. All right. This is a motion from the LSB Finance Committee. It's in your agenda. It's the draft agenda was posted on kpfdx.org for the public, but we'll read it for the stream. Policy for fundraising events or efforts not initiated by the KPFK management or LSB. The LSB needs to ensure the KPFK is appropriately protected from incurring any legal liability or other potential damages that may occur in fundraising events or events not initiated by KPFK management of the LSB. The GM has the ultimate responsibility, should be, for this. It says responsible, but that's a typo. Therefore, the KPFK GM and the LSB shall be informed about all such fundraising efforts or events and shall follow these herein procedures. Any and all fundraising events or efforts not initiated by the KPFK, by KPFK or the LSB that are promoted as being KPFK or Pacifica events, whether promoted on air, on the website, or in any other media distribution technique, or which use the name KPFK or Pacifica in any way, shall be pre-approved by KPFK management, who will inform the LSB of the events. This is to ensure that management can put in place all appropriate insurance policies and other protocols necessary to protect KPFK Pacifica. All the events and efforts initiated by individuals, programmers, or committees using the KPFK or Pacifica name shall provide the following information to be reviewed. What kind of event or effort is it? When and where will it occur? Identify who is initiating, organizing, sponsoring, partnering, or otherwise involved in the event or other fundraising effort if it involves a partnership, sponsorship, or some other kind of arrangement with other entities or groups. The details of that arrangement shall be provided for review. If there's a budget, it shall be submitted for review, even if expenses are not expected to come from the station. The percentage of the funds raised that will go to KPFK Pacifica and separately to the third party shall be disclosed during the pre-approved process. Provide details on how the cash management policy will be implemented and by whom. This was adopted by the Finance Committee on a vote of 12-1 and two abstentions. I don't see the date, but anyway, so that's before us. Is the discussion of the motion.
May I motivate?
Go ahead.
This is, as I said, to protect KPFK and Pacifica from legal liability. The request for information from these any proposed fundraising efforts is not burdensome at all. I mean, it's not burdensome to inform the general manager of what's in the motion. And all it asks is to inform the LSB. The LSB has no role in yay or naying it. So that's a misstatement. This is just basic protection for KPFK. I don't know why this is controversial. That's it.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I have Eric and then you, Bella, and then Ziri, okay. And then we'll take some public comment before we vote.
Thank
Eric,
you.
Go ahead.
I think my hand was up from before. So.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bella.
Mr. Chair. Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I would like to urge the board members to vote no on this motion. It is an obstruction. Ms. Kaufman has also objected to returning the line item on the P&L to provide funding, the necessary funding for outreach expenses that I have had to foot the bills for and other volunteers. And so this continues to become a thorn and interfering with outreaching and doing the work for fundraising outside of the station. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed Heary. And then we'll take public comments if there's no other board members who wish to speak. Heary, go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm against this motion for the very simple reason that this is exactly what we need right now. We need fundraising and we need to make it simple. And there has not been a serious problem to the station from previous fundraising events. The station has existed for a long time. The lawsuits that have come are actually always from staff. So we have signed agreements, you know, that we don't, we should definitely all of us sign agreements that we don't sue each other, which I think is a much more important thing. And I feel this motion is going to get in the way with all kinds of technicalities. There needs to be a budget, just like what Bella said, for outreach right now. It's very important to get into the community. Sometimes we have to maybe get a space or something for that. And I think this is a motion that gets in the way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other board members wish to speak? I don't see anyone, so we'll go to public comment on this before we vote.
May I correct two statements here? One, I did not. I have no ability to return a line item. This never came up during our budget discussion, so it has nothing to do with me. And I don't know what Ziri is saying that we have losses from staff. I mean, this is common courtesy when you're using the intellectual property of Pacifica and KPFK. The management knows what is being done with their name. There's nothing that is going to slow this down or being negative. You know, you want cooperation from management and everybody. Well, let's have a little communication. People can't go off and do things without, you know, informing management, who has the legal liability, the legal responsibility to manage.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
Mr. Chair, operations in good health.
I'm sorry, somebody needs to mute, please, if you're not speaking.
You know, why am I getting interrupted? Thank you.
Okay, I have public comment from Margot, Janine, and Michael Heiss. And call someone.
Okay, Margot is here. Margot is here, and I am speaking because I am a person who's been involved in streaming many organizations. And my family is notorious for, they're just absolutely well known for being able to raise money for nonprofit organizations. And I think that there's some kind of diversion that we have to take away the blockage for the outreach. Outreach is essential, that going to every single venue, every single event that's publicized on KPFK and having station provided information about KPFK, even just little cards that I can hand out when I talk to people. They ask me, I tell them, listen to a good program when I'm on the phone or something. Those things are essential because that's the way you reach out. It doesn't cost that much to print up some stuff. It shouldn't be up to the people who are, you know, it should be part of the budget. The other thing is that there are many ways that you can get businesses to help raise money. Like in American Greater Reader Association of University Women has a night like where they say, okay, today is the day when you can go eat at such and such a restaurant and tell them you're there. And then they provide money for KPFK and for in this case, KPFK. In one case, it was Friends of the Library. There's so many creative ways that you can raise money, but money should not, of course, be the main criteria, but all nonprofits have to deal with it. And I think that we should just get off of taking picky design and reach out to actual people, part of the community, who need to know about KPFK, who want to support it, and they may do it. And again, the positioning of the programming can be such a vital thing because the ones that actually do get listeners to call in are stuck sometimes at a half an hour in the morning on a Sunday, or, you know, and then some of the programs are repeated and repeated and repeated, and they redundantly say the same things, and yet they have hours and hours and hours on the air. And so that's another place where
okay,
the programming
needs
to be on. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Janine?
Hi, thanks, Michael. I just wanted to state, I've been putting in the chat, when this motion originally came up, it actually had that it needed LSB permission. And it took a big, big, big fight in the governance committee to be able to change it to just mean inform the LSB. The management, I do agree that if we're spending money, especially giving this time, we do need management approval. But I mean, I'm coming from a place where I've been wanting to do phone banking for a year. And I haven't gotten clearance because of, you know, not being able to come to the station, but I can't do it at home. And all of this red tape means that we've lost a year. And we've had a rotating GM situation. So it's really hard to get management approval. So, but I do feel that, and it also sprouted from an LSB member wanting reimbursement for $200 that they had spent and at the committee, and it ended up that just we had to let it go, and people from the committee just reimbursed her for the $200 because it was just such a shit show, excuse my language. So, you know, this adversarial stance against trying to, I mean, our Spanish speaking programmers and their community have events all the time, and they're not publicized on the station. That kind of stuff has to stop. We have to like open the floodgates a little bit and start to do whatever we can to start generating interest again. Thank you.
Thanks. Michael Heiss is next, and I have someone on the phone who hasn't spoken previously, and then the listener who spoke earlier, and Jim Dingeman.
Thanks, Michael. You know, like somebody else just mentioned, I'm involved with other nonprofits, and I think people have to put their factions aside, and the fact that somebody wants to do good doesn't mean you can just do it and spend money and go out and do something without at least letting the people you're doing it for know. If I were to go out and table or solicit or whatever on behalf of one of the other associations or affinity groups that I'm involved with and didn't tell them, or if necessary, get their approval, they would correctly sanction me. And I think we need to remove the need to have some adequate supervision for, well, you're just doing this because you don't like me or you don't like my cause. I think we need to just look at this on an objective basis. And I think this motion, you know, is it perfect? No, nothing's perfect. But we need to have a step in the right direction. Some of us, and most of us have been, and some of us still see ourselves as anarchists, but you just can't run a broadcasting operation through anarchy. You have to have some supervision and oversight, and then go out and do good works. Do, you know, fight the good fight.
Okay, the listener who hasn't spoken previously is shown on my screen is calling you as a 3. You're up.
Thank you. This is Raymond.
This motion seems perfectly legitimate to me. It did when I voted for it in the Finance Committee. It's not placing barriers. It's protecting what we have a duty to protect. And there's just about phone banking has nothing what wouldn't stop this. Management doesn't stop the phone banking if there's no access to phones. It's just nonsense. And there's no need for the factionalism. And incidentally, Ms. DeSoto's reimbursement came from Janine and from me. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I respond to Raymond? He never.
No, I'm sorry. No,
he never
Bella.
Gave a penny. He never gave a penny.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Bella. Please don't speak out of turn. Bella, do not speak out of turn.
Ask Janine.
Do not speak out of turn. As I said, the listener who spoke previously is up next, followed by Jim Dingman, Nancy Sabar Naritomi.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto was named by the caller and therefore I think has a point of personal privilege since he was alleging something about her. But at any rate, I don't have an opinion on the motion. I understand it's an improvement over what was previously rammed through because that would have required coming back to the LSB for a monthly, you know, at their monthly meetings for permissions to get anything done, which seems at best silly. But I want to speak generally about the budget and the LSBs, and excuse the noise, I can't get to the alarm, about the need for the LSB to really get down into the budget. LSBs have a right to know the number of staff people, their salaries within a certain range, the number of contractors and consultants, which is how management gets around improperly any hiring restriction, and there is in fact a hiring freeze, and I assure you there are management people who are not observing the hiring freeze under the guise that the people they're hiring are called contractors or consultants. That's a problem. Get into the weeds. You can understand the budget. You must understand the budget. You cannot approve a budget if you don't know where the money is being spent. Someone can explain it. If someone explains it with a funky attitude, as seems to be the case here, get someone else to explain it, but do not approve a budget and do not pass on the budget and let it go to the NFC where your treasurer and one director will make the decisions that will form the recommendation that goes to the PNB. The PNB generally does not take a good look at the budgets because it's also not explained to them. It is rammed through with very little understanding. You're the LSB. You have a right to approve the budget, a right and responsibility to approve the budget and to monitor the spending at least quarterly. I would say in this case, you need to be looking at it more frequently than that. But do not let anyone tell you that you're incapable of understanding what is going on. Make it your decision. It's your responsibility. That's why the listeners elected you. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Dingman, then Nancy, and then we're going to vote.
Thank you, Michael. If this motion has to do with sort of authorizing folks to go out and do things to raise money and do publicity, I'm 100% in favor of it right now. In the past couple of days, I've been reading case studies about how corporations turn themselves around. And one of the things I'm getting from all these articles, these are all articles in the Harvard Business Review, one of the things I'm getting is the need to have increased publicity in a falling situation financially. In other words, they study and see how corporations that are actually in a downturn survive out of the downturn by actually upping the amount of money that they spend on publicity. Now, we don't have a publicity budget at any of these stations. The way we do publicity is going out, manning tables, all that kind of other stuff. But right now, we have to get together and really think about how – because if people think that the programming is great, I have my own problems, opinions about that that are pretty well known. But if they think it's so great, then let's see it be publicized in every goddamn which way we can do it, because that's the key to getting audience. We need to get the audience up at least 50% in Los Angeles and every other station that's having these problems. And that's the way we get out of this mess.
Okay, thanks. We're at time for that comment. We have Nancy, but before you speak, Nancy, I want to point out to the secretary that I see that Avelia has joined the call. Avelia, are you with us? Can you speak up? Avelia, because we were told you were ill and we gave you a...
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And also Harvey Wasserman is on the call now. Harvey, can you speak up? Harvey Wasserman, can you unmute yourself and speak up for a minute so we're aware of your presence because you were marked as absent? Or if you don't hear from him, he's going to continue as being absent. I don't know if he's there or not. Paul Robeson, I think you indicated, and Marisol also, but can you please speak up so we know you're here?
I'm present here as well.
Yes, and Marisol?
Presente.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Yes, I don't have a strong opinion on this finance motion. I suggest that y'all take it back and work on it before you do it so you have more support and less negative stuff. Okay, I'd like to add about, I heard about the calling lapsed donors. With just one contractor present and around three or four volunteers only for a few days, and we got 84 renewals and over $8,400 just on those few days we did it. So I mean, there was a staff there to monitor, and okay, I mean, it's possible. We just did it for a short time. Every time we do it, we get renewals, but that's not the main thing. But there are things that you can do for that members will donate for a specific thing. If you say we need 800,000 by the end of this month for over, you know, underpaid, not paid payables anyway, just tell them in a nice way and people will donate. I mean, on KPFD, we just say, oh, the microwave went out today. We got three offers for microwaves within 2 hours. One that came in a box. It wasn't even opened. I mean, people will do that. Okay, thank you. Please, KPFK, please give more voice to the members to call in and go on the streets and go to the people that need their voices to be heard. The people who are suffering.
Okay, thank you. We're time, Nancy. That's time. I have two more public comments, Lee and then Sheila. Lee? Don't hear you. Sheila, and then Dr. Halley.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a general comment about fundraising. One way to raise funds is to save money. And in ad agencies, when campaigns fail, they have a policy of firing from the top. In this case, one could consider the executive director. And in addition to program directors at WBAI, I might offer up for sacrifice our general manager. And if it's illegal to run a station without a GM, does that GM have to be paid? Because if so, then KPFT is in violation of the FCC. Now, speaking of KPFT, the person that they're blocking from sitting on the LSD, Rodrigo Bravo, I think would make an excellent executive director. He's young, he's very knowledgeable about social media, and in fact, he's been very successful with his own program and has developed a $5 contribution app that his social media supporters can use, and he's been able to raise money this way. So I think in response to the Times, you have to realize people who support our stations don't have any money. So if the Pacifica would invest in some app developers or find a volunteer app developer to allow people to donate a dollar at a time or 50 cents at a time. This is how it works online with bloggers, the people that are not being heard. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Halley. Now we're going to go to a vote.
Yes, you're addressing me?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, this is going to be short. I'd like to applaud Zella DeSoto for her work on the new grid. I think she has some important suggestions, and I do think we really need to put attention on coming up with a new grid. I think this is vitally important. Number two, I'd like to say that my experience with KPFK is that the station tends to just pay cash for various services and equipment that need to be repaired or replaced. And I think we need to take a big look at some cases in which we can receive these things on a volunteer basis or on some kind of trade basis. I think that's really important. We definitely don't have to just pay cash out of hand in every situation. Thank you, now.
Okay, thanks, Harvey. I see you have your hand up. I tried to call you to speak, and we can acknowledge your presence. Did you want to make a comment?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
All right, very good.
All right. All right, John, Gary, can you call the roll on the motion?
Chair.
Yes, Kim?
I have one comment to make, and I just want to say one of the reasons I thought of making this motion that it was needed is because somebody said in a public comment that the Spanish programmers do these kinds of outreach fundraisers all the time. The fact is, and they're not publicized. Well, the fact is, nobody knows about them. And if they do raise money, I don't know where that money ever goes.
Mr. Chair, Bella.
Bella, go ahead, Bella. I know you have it.
Thank you. Yeah. It has been historic. It has been historic. Kim Kaufman keeps bringing this up. The Spanish language programmers have had to do these events over and over again over the years because of their continued preemption on air. Where the monies have been applied is not their job. And this has been argued and complained about. There has been no accountability. Thank you, but they
all
have
right, thank you. There was a very clear accounting for the last one, and the money was...
And I will be speaking on that during
that
the outreach.
All right, thank you.
One that we know thank of, you. Michael. One that had...
Okay, fine.
Mr. Chair, can we go to...
We're going to the vote now, please.
Can you repeat the motion, please?
It's a very, very long motion. I read it once. It's in your agenda. It's posted on KPFDX in the agenda that's up on the site. I don't want to read the whole thing because we're running out of time for the whole meeting. It's 20 after 12. Everyone is quite aware of what the motion is about. Please call the roll.
Grace Aaron. Grace, are you there? Christine Avalos.
Pass.
Jose Benavides.
I'm sorry. John, this is Grace.
Yes.
This is Grace. I vote yes.
Thank you. Christine Avalos.
Yes.
Passed. Jose Benavides. I'll come back. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair votes yes.
Sandy Childs.
Pass.
Marisol Cruz.
No.
Bella DeSoto.
No.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Pass.
Rob Macon.
I don't believe he's on the call.
Okay. Michael Novick.
The chair usually votes at the end.
Avelia Jones.
Excuse me. Oye, Yippo.
You skipped Avelia.
I apologize. Avelia Jones.
Sorry. Pass.
Oye, Oye, Yippo.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Pass.
Ziri Rideau.
No.
Paul Roberson. Paul Roberson will return. Ruth Strauss.
Pass.
Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasiliev.
No.
Hold on, I have to correct one here. Elizabeth von Gunten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman.
I abstain.
Carlos Zavala.
Pass.
All right. Going back for the passes, Christina Avalos, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jose Benavides, how do you vote? I thought I saw Jose Benavides in the chat, so I assume he's present. But if you're here, please speak up before we end the roll call vote. Andy Childs, how do you vote?
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson, how do you vote?
Reluctant, yes.
Avelia Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes, how do you vote?
No.
Paul Roberson, how do you vote? No vote recorded for Paul Roberson.
I'm asking him to unmute, otherwise he's muted.
All right. If he returns and I miss him, please remind me. Ruth Strauss, how do you vote?
I have to abstain. I cannot get to the motion. Thank you.
I assume Oscar Ulloa is absent, but I'll...
No, I'm present and I vote no.
Thank you. Carlos Zavala, how do you vote?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm last call for Jose Benavides.
I'm here. Sorry, I was disconnected.
How do you vote?
No.
Thank you. And Michael Novick, how do you vote?
No.
All right. Is there any member who is present that was not asked to vote?
Did you miss Myla Reeson?
Myla Reeson?
Myla is not here.
She received excused absence request.
Okay. This is Harvey Wasserman. I'm going to change my vote to yes.
Okay. Harvey Wasserman changes his vote to yes. Are there any last minute changes of vote? Or is there anyone who was not called to vote?
Paul Roberson still hasn't unmuted. I'm not sure why not, but I guess you have to tally it up.
Okay. All right, Paul Roberson. I'm going to begin the count, but if you please vote before the tally is announced, your vote will still be valid. I'm going to do my count now. The yeses I'm working on are. The yeses are 10, the noes are 8, and there is one abstention. So the yeses are 10, the noes are 8, abstentions are 1, Mr. Chair.
Oh, sorry about that. My computer froze, so I had to reset my computer.
Mr. Chair, is the voting still open at this time? I assume it is, Mr. Chair. If there's no objection from the body, I'll add Mr. Roberson's vote, and then I'll redo the tally.
And I vote no. Apologies.
That's a no vote from Mr. Roberson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The yeses are 10. The noes are 9. The abstentions are 1, Mr. Chair.
The chair has to vote.
So the chair voted already.
The chair voted, and I included his vote.
All right, thank you. That motion carries. I'm going to move the agenda on to the motion from the PNB Committee of Inclusion. I'll read it for everyone. Resolved that the KPFK Local Station Board strongly urge management to record and air welcoming and fundraising member recruiting promo messages voiced by diverse members of the KPFK Local Station Board for use during the current fund drive and subsequently, it's no longer current, but there'll be one shortly. And further resolved that all members of the KPFK LSB use our connections and community engagements to help build an off-air membership drive campaign with the assistance of station management and staff to create effective, attractive, and professional-appearing branded campaign materials to seek en masse individual memberships from community, civic, and professional organizations, labor unions, faith-based groups, and other membership organizations whose values and goals are consistent with the Pacifica mission and the station's commitments to free speech, peace, and justice. That was adopted, that objection, by the PNB Committee of Inclusion on August 19th. Is there a discussion? I want to point out that it's 12:30 and we still have a lot of business, including all of our local committees and some new business.
Yeah, I'll call for the vote.
Okay, I don't see any hands. So is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing none, that is adopted. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is the Outreach Committee. Outreach Committee, Bella DeSoto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Outreach Committee held the first town hall event at the end of July. And it was never announced, promoted on air, even though Mo Thomas and Ali Lexa received ample time and copy material and imagery to also put it with a banner to place it at the front page of KPFK. It was never done. In fact, it was inserted into the calendar page, which nobody really gets to look at, since we have not had a robust community calendar effort for a number of years. So that was a major disservice. However, it was virtual, and we were able to get at around 45, 46 participants. Mo Thomas did attend, and he answered to the best of his ability many questions, concerns, comments from the gathered. In recent time, the Outreach Committee was worked jointly with the Spanish language programmers. Once again, we have done it in the past, and we held an event fundraiser for KPFK at Lincoln Park that was done on the 14th of August. Nearly $3,000 were gathered, and 7 new members paid new membership. That was turned over to Terry Guy, receipt was received, etc. And all that information and imagery of the event were sent out. We had good participation from some of the LSB members as well. However, sadly, because it was not promoted on air, the station made a decision not to promote it. Instead, they did promote Canto Tropical, which was
2 weeks later or a week later. This affected the fundraising capacity because the English speaking listeners were not outreached over the airwaves, only through Spanish programming at night. So again, this falls flat on the management team. We did another fundraise. We did outreach at different places, but one notably at Wilmington, in the city of Wilmington, Banning Park. Every year, KPFK is able to secure a booth. However, we had a major debacle on Monday, September 5th, where we lost communication with a coordinator from Longshoremen, and he decided to go ahead with Mansoor Sabah and allocate and provide him with the information and the booth. Everybody here has read about it. There's been a lot of back and forth. And I remain steadfast that the account that I rendered is what happened. Stuart Landau, Janine Ron, and Dan McCrory from the CAB participated. And we had a good day, but we lost out on the booth that is centrally located every year. So we lost that traffic. There's an upcoming event coming up on the 24th of September from early in the morning till about 1 o'clock. It will be in Chinatown with Homeboy Industries. They will be holding their annual 5K run, and it will be a lot of fun. And there will be a stage with music, kids activities, and all of that. It's again about the community, and I'm getting confirmation from that tomorrow. And we are looking at other possibilities, but working with the so-called management team at KPFK has proving very, very difficult and very exhaustive. And we hold the outreach committee the last Sunday of every month, and it starts at 11:30 a.m. It gets posted at KPFTX. However, since February, Otis McClay has not uploaded the audio recordings. And you are aware of that, Mr. Chair. I want to thank everyone and to support the outreach committee and become a volunteer at these events. It's very important. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll call myself just to request that you try to schedule a second town hall before the end of the year to fulfill our obligation.
Yes, in fact, it will be, we are looking for a physical location so that we can have a hybrid event. And I am hoping that by then we will have a general manager that we can work with and a program director, or be a volunteer program director. Thank you. I will keep you posted.
Thank you. I muted myself. Next on the agenda is the fundraising committee.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yeah, I had a question, Chair.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I
have a question.
Okay. Let's go back to that then. I have Lawrence and then Kim.
Yeah, Bella, can you report how much the fundraiser did raise for the station?
You mean the Spanish language programmers?
Yeah.
Yes, it was... it was just barely $300 shy from 2000.
Thank you.
It could have
okay,
been
so then, we do have,
had it been promoted on air.
There's, I want to make a comment.
Yeah, there were three public comments. We'll take them. Margo,
I have a question, Chair.
I understand you have a question. You're on the list, but you're on as public comment at this point. So it's Margo, Sue, and yourself. Margo, go ahead.
Okay, yes, I was at the salsa event was publicized, and it really was wonderful. people, but there wasn't a formal way for people to be told that this is your donation. If it's $20, but you add an extra $5, you can become a member of KPFK. I did that with one person who was extremely eager to do that. So I think that at these events, if it had been more officially sort of like run by the outreach committee, there could have been the forms there for people to do that right away.
Yeah, I saw forms there.
$700.
No, she's referring to Canto Tropical.
That's better than nothing. So I want to say that this is my gift. Yes, it was wonderful. I went to South. I met Sue Cone Johnson. And no, I met Dr. Ruth. I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me. But the point is, these are really good events to have a formal place where people can become subscribers by donating maybe a little extra than what's being raised by the group. And it's not going to benefit Canto Tropical or the place it was at. It's going to benefit KPFK. And that would be just a wonderful, fun way for the people to meet each other. And that's why I believe it should be widely publicized on all the media that KPFK has access to. And but have a formal procedure that they, these groups can follow that makes
Hi,
it.
Margo.
Okay, thanks. Sue, and then Kim, and then... I'm sorry, somebody has to mute themselves. There's an enormous amount of noise coming over some line.
It's Sue's line.
I'm sorry. Didn't you say that the event in the Labor Day, his booth was mainly run for the Long Beach station?
That is correct.
And
Long Beach radio
although
station.
He did. Is it KJAZ?
No.
And did he
no.
also have? Did
it's
he also not. Have some paperwork for a KPFK? Some paperwork he also had, right?
I did not look at that paperwork. And Michael Novick actually was the one who reported to the KPFK booth about what Mansoor Sabat was doing. As I explained to him, we had lost contact with the coordinator, but it was a low power FM radio in Long Beach.
Okay, thank you. And I'm done.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay, I have Kim and Jim Dingman, and then Jose Benavides, I think, has a question. We'll come back to him.
Thank you, Michael.
No, Kim first, and then Jim.
Sorry, okay.
I mean, I, this is a treasurer's question and shouldn't be put into public comment, but nevertheless, what I want to know is what did that Spanish programmers fundraiser do to raise money? I mean, how did they do it? It was an event in the park. I don't get it. What was the hook?
May I respond, Mr. Chair?
Quickly.
Yes. It was a concerted effort by all the Spanish language programmers to have this fundraiser for KPFK. It was specifically to help out with the accounts payable, $90,000. They were hoping to have raised more, but the station did not promote it on air.
So people were asked to make donations.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I would like to finish. There was music, there was community outreach, and the community, there was a theme that was created, bringing the communities, uniting the communities. So a lot of work went into it. Again, if had it been promoted properly over the airwaves, it would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 10.
Thanks. All right.
Maybe 15,000.
We're going to move on. Jim, and then we have two members that want to speak. So, Jim, go ahead, and then we'll go.
KPFK banners and all giving
okay,
out information
please don't
about
speak out of turn. Please do not speak out of turn. Jim Dingman has the floor, and then we're going to go quickly to the three members who want to speak, which is Lawrence, Jose, and Oscar, and then we're going to move on. We have a lot of other business.
All right, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, to solve these problems that we're facing right now financially, we're going to have to look at public affairs programming in generally, which at many stations does not work. And let me focus in on Spanish language programming. I know what the statistics are in Los Angeles. So I know that we have a lot of work to do in all the stations that have Spanish language programming to figure out ways to boost their ability to generate more audience and more people donating. And that I consider is a project that we will look at the national board level, because I'm sure there are going to be lots of ideas. I'm glad to hear that Bella reported that the show's raised a lot of money, or it's a decent amount of money in a community situation. I know in New York what happens with the Latin shows, the Latin music shows, is they go and do money at a nightclub. But it still is a question of, you know, how do we produce and boost the audience? Because I know what the stats are. They're very, very low in California in those slots from 8 to 12. So one has to really figure out how to change that and make it to the to make it better, and maybe think about reorienting how they're functioning. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. So quickly, the three members who wanted to speak, and before we go to the fundraising committee report, Lawrence, Oscar, and Jose.
Thank you, Chair. And I get tired of the Spanish language program. It's being questioned. To try to add a little grain of rice to the pot of rice. It's always suspected. And then I don't see one penny coming out of the so-called finance committee. And I just get tired of the suspected questions as to what is it about, all of this. Why doesn't the finance committee come up with an idea to add some grains of rice to the pot themselves? Why is it that the Spanish language programmers are always questioned when they are outreaching to the community? And Jim, you don't have Spanish language programming in WBAI, so I don't know what you're talking about. The fact is that the Spanish language programmers are doing a lot with very little. They do not get promoted. There's no on-air announcements in regards to their programs. So please stop this gaslighting. It needs to really stop. This microaggression makes me sick.
Okay, Jose, did you still want to speak? You took your hand down.
Yeah, I took my hand down because I think someone answered the question.
Okay.
But let me just add, based on what he said. I mean, I agree with Lawrence. I mean, Spanish programming is always consistently under attack. And what bothers me is that there isn't the same energy handed out to other communities. Why are we always constantly under attack, and it's always alluding to the Spanish language programming? Like, if that's the only place that there's a problem, I mean, I could name you a whole bunch of shows that are in English and that are performing worse. And that the problem with content at KPFK is around the clock. I mean, I'm not saying the Spanish language is better or does anything, you know, differently. We all have issues all around the grid. It's a problem that we have around the grid. But I don't see anybody calling that out. Why is it constantly the Spanish speaking? Why is it? Is it because you believe that it's the only community that you could kick and that we were not going to respond? Come on, everybody. And a lot of these people already know their personal opinions anyway. Should I open up that can of worms? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, Oscar, and then we're going to move the agenda. There's one more period of public comment, and we'll take those hands a little bit later. Oscar, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And actually, just to go a little bit deeper onto Ms. Kim's question, unfortunately, it was not, I think, properly addressed. She wanted to hear. She wanted to hear how you guys were able to get $3,000 if you guys don't know anything. You guys, how you get it? Well, really simple. We got together with the community. We invited the people all around, and most of the funds were because of our share of almost, we consider that a kermesse a party, an invitation for the community. A lot of people might need, don't understand that concept, but this is so pretty much most of the money it came because our volunteers provided their own. We provided food, we provided beverages, we provided music, and we provided the environment. So people around just decided to come in and participate this way, which is actually an alternative to what we know and always been accused of the Spanish programming not getting enough funds on the regular drive. And personally, I grow tired that always explain to that people that we are against everything all the time. We had a horrible answering system for Spanish community. We don't have personnel on the phone banks, wherever they are, courtesy of our last manager, where they don't speak Spanish, especially not even from 8:30 p.m. to midnight. There is nobody attending. We have that motto, they don't answer or they don't answer in Spanish. Everybody should be able to communicate and to make this place because we are in the United States. Well, most of the audience of that night is common folk, working class folk, and a lot of them either with limited resources, but with the same passion, with the same need, because they're listening from their own countries on the wherever they are. So. I share the same thoughts about Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Benavides, that he's so disappointing or so tired to always hear the Spanish programming don't make any money. No, this was the way that we were trying to do it. And just to close, and Mr. Mo Thomas and or Ali Lexa, we make a little of. Ask a little concession regarding, hey, we just brought you $3,000. Can you spare half an hour for us? And they decide not to. So this is the way we work. And this is the way that the station or the management or whoever is moving the wires right now has worked for a long, long time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Oscar. We're going to go into the fundraising committee. And Jeanette, if you would explain about the phone banking system we try to use. It's not using the station phones. Yeah.
Well, hi. Yes, we have gotten clearance to start our phone banking effort again, so that's great. It's going to start kind of small, 3 people a shift, and I had originally wanted 3 shifts. The Terry guy at the office oversees it so that there's a staff person there, and because we'd be taking donations hopefully, but he was not well on Saturday, so we're going to be starting tomorrow, and I'm going to put I put the phone banking, my email in there. Anybody who's interested, both English and Spanish speakers, what we're going to do is mark, we're not using the system that I had used last year. I think they feel it was a little bit of an investment. So I think we're just going to cut to the chase and start making calls to elapsed donors. But I really hope it grows. My conversation with Mo and with Terry is that if it goes well, we might be able to expand to more times. Everybody's very hopeful about that. So in light of that, I'd like to be able to say that we've got people willing to come in for 3 hours at a time and be able to make calls. And we have a script and all that. Regarding some of the other fundraising ideas like the auction, which is a great idea, online auctioning. Again, please take my email. I really believe it has been run by the ED. We didn't have a GM when we first started talking about it, so I talked to the ED about it. I think if we were to get people like a list, a starter list of things that people would be willing to donate online, that would get the ball rolling. It would feel more viable. So again, please take my email. It's jrohnkpfk@gmail.com. And if you have items that you feel like you could donate, I will go ahead and get started on a list, and then we can go back to the ED and say that we have a bit of a start there. It would be really great. So that's about it. And then I also just want to mention that I've gone to 3 Spanish-speaking events for the Spanish-speaking programmers. And, you know, when you talk about lining up music, lining up, you know, getting tables and chairs and speakers and donating 6 hours of your weekend to doing something and to find out that the station doesn't even promote it. It's just, it's here we started the meeting with the IGM talking about how we had to start reaching out to the diverse communities. That's exactly what's going on, you know? And so we just really have to get away from this separation that these events don't mean anything. Even if it didn't bring in money, it brings in the community and they understand that the station's there for them and listening to them. That alone should be reason enough to promote it. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I'm going to call myself for a minute to reiterate the importance of people both signing up to do the calling to LAPS members, and also if you have ideas about items that could be donated or people who might be able to donate items for the auction. And I do want to urge the directors on the call, not only the ones from our station, but nationally, I see Jim Dingman's on the call, to urge the ED to adopt this program. It's a well-established platform for nonprofit fundraising through online auctions, and they have several other capacities as well. It would behoove us to sign up the entire foundation and all 5 stations to use it, because it introduces us to people from other nonprofits who are able to bid on the items that we put up for auction. So it would be both outreach and fundraising off air, take the burden off the listeners to constantly be pleaded with to provide funds. Moving on, we have the program.
You have Beth.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Beth.
I wanted to ask, you mentioned that there's a script that you're using, and I wanted to know which script, what was the source of the script?
The script was workshopped at the committee meeting this past, our committee meetings are the first Monday of every month. And there'll be another one on October 3rd. It was workshopped there, and we came up with an outline. We ran the outline by Mo and Terry. So, you know, it's not some rogue, you know, script that's floating around. So it's, you know, it talks about various things like from, you know, what we want done, why KPFK is...
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. We have 7 minutes left to the meeting. Excuse me. Let me speak.
I gave up my report.
Okay, but we have 7 minutes left to the meeting, and we have to have the last public comment period. So we have to move to that if you're giving up your report.
Fine.
We have a time certain of 1 o'clock, and it's 12:54. So we're moving to public comments. I'm sorry we couldn't get to the program oversight or the other banner on the business, but people voted to extend time. So we're taking additional public comment. Sheila Hamanaka, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much. I wanted to really praise the Spanish language programmers at KPFK. I think they've done an amazing job. And despite all the disrespect, have done it. Excellent community outreach. And I know it's a radical idea, but, you know, George Soros just brought up a number of Spanish language stations. The handwriting is on the wall to him. And I think Pacifica should consider turning KPFK and maybe KPFT into 100% Spanish language stations. Why not? There's a dearth of radical Spanish language stations in the United States. And it's absolutely necessary for the Spanish speaking community, for immigrant communities, et cetera. And, you know, Jim, you may support Spanish language programming, but it's not happening at WBAI. We have 25% Latinx community in New York City. What do we get? A couple hours? You know, come on, where's the 25% of airtime? Similarly, you know, the disrespect for communities of color is rampant in Pacifica. And the committees of inclusion must address.
That's time. I'm sorry. So the secretary informs me that we actually already had our 30 minutes of public comment, which is the mandatory minimum. And I think everybody who has their hands up has already spoken. So if people don't mind, we'll hear briefly from the Program Oversight Committee before we wrap up. Beth?
You already told me I don't have time. I'm out.
No.
Okay, go to Jim Digman.
All right, Michael Ice is next then. Michael Heiss, your hand is up.
Sorry. Am I being called on or I apologize?
Yes.
Okay, then thank you. I appreciate that. My apologies. I'm sort of multitasking this morning. I just want to say that we need to serve we talk about inclusion and diversity and to turn it into a and I know this is the third rail and I have nothing but respect for the Spanish language programmers, but why don't we take the model that they've developed and expand it to other communities who are also disenfranchised? And instead of concentrating on just one, let's give a voice to all. And again, I have to say it because otherwise I'll get pilloried. This has nothing to do with denigrating the Spanish language programmers. It's opening up the airwaves to catch me on this, others. That's it.
Okay, Beth, you put your hand back up.
I intended to lower it. I don't have any way to see on this end whether it's up or down. It's the same number, star 9. So it's anybody's guess.
Did you want to speak is what I'm asking you? I guess not.
I'm done now. I gave up both my reports today and didn't get to ask my follow-up question. We're on to another agenda item. Let's just go.
Okay. All right, Jim. This might be the last comment because it's 12:58.
Yeah, look, we have to, in each signal area, we don't have enough people listening, period. Period. We wouldn't be in this financial situation if we had 500,000 people listening to each station in each signal area. So I have to disagree, Sheila, with your ideas. I don't think we serve even the communities that we are trying to broadcast out in our own signal areas adequately enough. And I'm talking about 16 million people in New York, 6 million people in Washington, D.C., 6 million people in Houston, 11 to 12 million people in L.A., and about 6 to 7 million people up there in San Francisco. We got to basically figure out how to reach masses of audiences. And that includes every single part of the communities that live in those areas. I want to see Spanish language programming improve and get large numbers. That's where my head is at on this issue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It is 12:59, so I think we're going to wrap the meeting up. We have a time certain of 1 p.m. and we have a closed session with the ED. She hasn't been on this call, but I understand she's going to be on the next one. She agreed to do it. So that will be to discuss confidential personnel matters related to the GM search and the financial constraints of the station.
Michael, is there a different link?
A request for public
comment. Yes, there was a different link. I sent it out.
Okay.
To board members. Jose, you have your hand up quickly. No.
I just wanted to say, responding to, I forgot her name, but about the all Spanish station. I was just thinking, and I know it was just a suggestion or your opinion or your thought, but I really think that once we save KPFK, once we have all the listeners necessary and we're producing money to support the station and maybe help other sister stations, and maybe at that point we could start discussing creating new channels and all the new technology that's available now to create separate channels. And this isn't to throw people off.
It's one, and we're adjourned. I have to end this call so the other one can begin. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
Could I have 30 seconds?
No, you can't. I'm sorry. We're at time, and I have to open the other call.